always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
But yeah, like from this standpoint, you know, the first thing that jumped into my head when I saw that Jaw was traded to Portland was like, okay, they're small. Like, that is a really small team. And the what I thought obvious next step for them would be that it would be some kind of a trade where you send out a couple of your guards, right? You still have Drew Holiday on your team. You still have Damian Lillard on your team. You still have Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe on your team as well. Now you also add Ja Morant to that group. And yeah, like Dame and Ja aren't exactly, you know, reliable heading into next season in terms of their injury concerns. So maybe you keep some of those guys or one of those guys as insurance, but that's a lot of guards to take up a roster and to take up that much of your cap. So a lot of people obviously jumped right to, well, a Drew for Jaylen Brown swap, you know, Drew and stuff for Jaylen Brown swap might make some sense. But Shams just came out and said a second ago that based on what he's hearing, Portland seems to be done. That doesn't make any sense to me. So I do kind of find myself wondering if, you know, maybe the Lakers send over that combination of Ayton, ironically, Ayton, Vando, and Dalton, if they send it to Portland to bring back Drew Holiday, who has next year on the books for $34 million, and he has a player option the year after that, that he's probably picking up. But you know, maybe that makes some sense for the Lakers, especially with them likely losing Marcus Smart. I really, really hope that JJ and Rob are aware of what they are losing in Marcus Smart, and you know, how desperately they need to fill his point of attack defense if the Lakers want to be a title contender next year. So yeah, it's a tricky situation there, you know, for the Lakers, obviously, here moving forward. But with Ja, the other thought that came to mind, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, but the other thought that came to mind was like, shit, things change fast in this NBA, right? We are just a few years removed from that group telling everybody how they are good in the West, right? And all of the swagger and confidence that that group had before they had their souls ripped out of their chest by the Lakers, like they looked like this team that was going to be a perennial contender for the next decade. And we shouldn't have taken that for granted. We can't take anything like that for granted any longer. And I think this is something that, you know, the Lakers have to be very aware of with Luka, in that, like, things change so fast. And if you take for granted, you know, that you're going to have Luka and that you're going to have this competitive team for the next decade, that's how you get yourself into trouble. So I'm not saying that's what they're doing with Luka. I will say that's what they did with LeBron. And that era ended with, you know, kind of a wet firework. But in terms of, you know, the job ahead of them that Rob Pelinka has, you know, everybody is talking about how quickly things change in the NBA now. And, you know, superstars aren't going, like, we just saw Nikola Jokic, you know, in his camp make it known that he isn't interested in signing an extension. Now, some of that might just be maximizing his earnings. Some of that might also be him, like, looking at the owner after all of these reports, that he is not going to, you know, pay the luxury taxes. Jokic might be looking at their owner, Stan Kroenke, and being like, okay, you don't want to pay up. I'm not going to sign any kind of contract that doesn't make you freak out a little bit. So, like with Luka And we saw it with LeBron and we saw it with Anthony Davis. Like, this whole approach that the Lakers have taken, where they're perfectly fine kicking the can down the road and all that stuff, that's not going to fly any longer. And if they do lose LeBron to Golden State, and if they do, or when they do lose Marcus Smart, you know, they'd better make a real impact with the cap space that they kick the can to arrive with. And if they don't, you guys know I'm probably going to hop on here and have a few pointed words that need to be said. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions and comments. We do have a few super comments, which, thank you guys a ton. That means we get to play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right, the first one that I saw come in here came from Matthew the Sicilian, who writes, "Hey, podcast, Utah sure has a lot of centers. Windy fingers." Yeah. I do think this is going to be a smart thing for people to speculate about until we get Walker Kessler's contract. And by the way, like, this is part of what I've been talking about where, you know, like, there's all this reporting being done about how little contact the Lakers have had with LeBron. And that, to me, sounds like Rich Paul, like, reminding them, like, hey, like, we're still over here. But what I believe is actually going on there is that the Lakers and you and Utah Jazz have been in, like, constant communication over the years, frankly, but especially this summer, about, hey, how do we arrive at some understanding with Walker this summer? And like, Nurkic's contract comes into play, and where the Lakers' decisions that they are or are not making so far come into play is, and like, you know, with that noise about LeBron not hearing from the Lakers very much, like, what the Lakers are, who I think pretty clearly are doing here, is they are trying to get Kessler out of Utah. And until the moment that he is definitely staying in Utah, they are going to continue to focus on that. And then at the time that he does finally sign that deal and stays in Utah, then the Lakers would, you know, move on, and maybe there's still time on Jalen Duren. Maybe there's, you know, some other center that we aren't aware of, you know, that they would circle back to. Maybe they pick up those talks with Milwaukee about a Miles Turner trade. And then, you know, depending on which center it is that they walk away with and what price they have that center at, then they would, you know, talk to LeBron about the number that it would take to keep him in LA next year. Then if there's room, they would talk to Rui about what number he is looking for next year. I saw a report that he's looking for at least $20 million a year. Makes some sense, right? Made 18 last year and had a good enough season that you would think you get a raise off of it. But at the end of the day, your market is what somebody is willing to pay you. And then, you know, everything is just kind of that first domino that has to fall is whatever happens with Walker Kessler. And it's become, I think, abundantly clear that he is kind of the holdup for the Lakers offseason. And if they don't get him, right, if they offer him that near max salary, and if they and if Utah matches after the Lakers renounce those guys to even make that offer in the first place, then the Lakers are just completely screwed. And then it's time to start firing folks. But you're absolutely right, Matthew, that Utah has a whole bunch of centers and way too much money invested in that front court. And that front court is only going to get more expensive after Kessler's eventual deal. So we'll see how that one plays out. All right. The next question here comes from Let's Run UNLV. Seems like posturing for more money from AD and LeBron, but Golden State would still have way better talent and depth. go player for player, and the Lakers have health concerns too, and LeBron could stick it to Jeannie and Rob. Yeah, I mean, like, look, the Lakers don't want him to go to Golden State. Like, this is not something that, like, you know, they, you know, saw the reports or they've heard the whispers too, and they've seen what Golden State is trying to do. Like, the Lakers, if there's a team that they would like to see LeBron not go to, it would be the one in their own division. And, like, you have the regional rivalry, right, that exists between the Lakers and Golden State because of the extension of fan bases between the Dodgers and Giants. Like, you have any number of reasons to point to that, like, the Lakers wouldn't like to see him go to Golden State. If he was going to leave, I think they would obviously prefer that he goes to Cleveland and you know, finishes out his career there in the Eastern Conference. And so, like, as such, now they are probably taking this a little bit more seriously, but I don't think it's, you know, something that they can't eventually work around. So, but, like, as far as, like, the posturing from LeBron and AD and Draymond here, all of those guys are clutch guys, right? You have Draymond Green, you know, who, you know, his is nearing the end of his career. Feel like every other week he's complaining about how little money NBA players get to keep because of taxes and, in his case, fines and suspensions. And so, like, he's trying to maximize his earnings here and the length of his next deal. Anthony Davis is somebody who whose market is extremely underwhelming from a trade perspective, because everybody knows that he wants a max contract despite the fact that he just never plays. So you have that going on here as well. Also, Anthony Davis just saw Trae Young get a huge deal, and he's probably sitting here saying, well, if you're giving out those deals, where's mine? And you know, I'm sure that, you know, those conversations probably haven't gone the way that they want. And one way to ensure that everybody hears about your contract dispute is by leaking that you could go to a media, like a large media market darling type team, in this case, the Golden State Warriors. So that might help Anthony Davis get a little bit of leverage here. And then from LeBron's standpoint, right, we've been talking about this all summer. You know, he wants to play on a winner. He wants to be in a city that is his family is comfortable in, and he wants to, you know, make an amount of money that it seems fair to him. And the only team still that I think checks all three of those boxes is still, I think, the Lakers. But he wants it known, hey, you know, I'm not going to be free. Like, I'm not going to sign for the biannual. I'm not going to, like, at the very, very least, my market starts at the mid-level exception, because that's what I would likely be getting from Golden State, from Cleveland, from whatever other team I could potentially go to in free agency. I guess I should also mention Andrew Wiggins opted into his contract earlier today, which does make it so that, you know, the Lakers could theoretically send LeBron, who signs, say, that, like, $25 million deal to Miami, and Miami saves, you know, the $5 million bucks that they would this year by taking on LeBron instead of Andrew Wiggins. That's a possibility here that I think is worth noting. He got extended, but he got extended to less than his contract is worth this year, which means that, at least to my understanding, that he can still be traded. It's the guys who get extended or resigned to anything more than, I think, like 10% of their previous contract that can't be traded until December. But yeah, like the you know, if you he didn't do that, guys, he signed. So he opted into his contract at the $30.4 million. Then he signed an extension for two additional years that totaled at $34 million, meaning it is average annual salary of $17 million, which is less than the $30.4 million that he opted into this year. So like, based on my understanding, I think he is still trade eligible. And if so, then he is somebody who I think the Lakers would, you know, at least kick the tires on. The Lakers kicked the tires on him last year. They would probably have those conversations again. Obviously, Pat Riley is somebody who has deep roots in the Lakers organization. They talk often about a lot of stuff, and I'm sure Wiggins for LeBron will probably come up if LeBron signals an interest in going back to Miami to finish his career there. I don't know about the fit there between LeBron, Giannis, and Bam, but that's not normally how superstars think about the game. They kind of think of it as let's play with as many superstars as we can and figure the rest out later. Hence the unction that is going on in Golden State potentially. But yeah, that's a possibility. But as far as like, you know, leverage here, LeBron knew that he entered this offseason because of like the situation that he wants to play in next year. He knew he entered this offseason and these negotiations down leverage significantly compared to, you know, what his, you know, previous negotiations looked and felt like. And now it's just a matter of like trying to figure that out again and get that leverage back. And one way that you can get that leverage back is by threatening to go and play in one of the markets that your current team absolutely doesn't want to see you play for. So that might be what's going on here. Oh man, Germany and Paraguay are absolutely, they're tied up, 5 minutes of stoppage time left. That's exactly how Japan lost too. That was a brutal one. That was a toughie. All right, let's go to the next super comment that I saw down here, and we've gotten a few, so I think we'll just keep it coming. Let's run you. UNLV writes, like, just pay LeBron more. He's the second best player on your team right now. And if it was a way worse version of Kobe, they wouldn't think twice. That's the part of this that always like annoys me when I have conversations with people close to the Lakers, is like, would you guys treat Kobe like this? This guy has done obviously not as much for the franchise as Kobe did, but he did dig you guys out of a significant hole on the other side of the Jim Buss debacle. And you got, you know, won a championship with you guys and, you know, helped, you know, bring the Lakers back to relevance, and also, you know, fended off Father Time to the extent that he did. Like, maybe you should honor this dude a little bit more than it seems like you're getting ready to honor him here. But I don't think they necessarily see it that way. They you know, I think eventually he'll have his jersey retired. Maybe he'll get a statue, but I don't think the Lakers think of him as, at least based off of some of the conversations I've had. I think that their relationship with LeBron and with Clutch is complicated, is the word I would use for it. But yeah, I agree. I think he deserves to be honored and respected to a greater extent than I've heard that taking place so far this year. Let's see. The next question here comes from Matthew the Sicilian, writes, hey, Anthony, be honest. What would your genuine reaction be if they traded for Anthony Davis and brought back LeBron at the mid-level? How do you think Luka would handle it? I'd be pretty pumped, honestly, because the center market is just not great at all. And, you know, as such, it's just... I mean, like, it's basically that the Lakers' best option right now is to say goodbye to talent in the hopes that they can make an offer that is such an overpay that Utah doesn't want to sign a critical part of their young core and actual team as they are getting ready to compete next year. Like, that makes me incredibly nervous. Unfortunately, Anthony Davis's contract sucks. His extension is also going to suck. And it wouldn't be a perfect situation, but if it, like, you know, it's basically the gamble that the Warriors are making. It's like, all right, if we get you Anthony Davis and we pay him, would you be more interested in playing with us at a number that we all understand is well below your market value? And, yeah, let's see. Wow, Chris Haynes, breaking news. Due to a sizable distance apart in negotiations, Detroit Pistons restricted free agent Jalen Duren will meet with the Sacramento Kings at the start of free agency with the intentions of structuring a sign and trade out of Detroit. All right, I have lots of thoughts on this one. Matthew, I'll wrap this up. I would be intrigued by Anthony Davis. I would be real nervous about his injury history and the extension that he's eventually going to sign. But yeah. All right, let's talk about this Duren thing. This one is weird because unless Duren is expecting like the max, I don't see how they can possibly be that far apart in negotiations, especially when, you know, like the report from earlier was that Kessler had a $40 million deal waiting for him. It was a four-year, $140 million deal. But like, I feel like he would probably get roughly similar money. So I don't think we've seen a number that Detroit has really offered Duren. For the purposes of this show, though, like what I think is most interesting is that it's the Sacramento Kings that he is meeting with and not with the Lakers. you know, like if it's, you know, Duren is somebody who the Lakers tried to trade for a couple of years ago, and then he got better and he got better and got better. And then now, you know, as the Lakers are desperate for center talent, I would have figured if he was going to do the leverage thing that he would use the Lakers for that leverage thing, which we could take a couple of ways. Either Rob Pelinka is just doing a really poor job, or the other read on this situation is that the Lakers are close enough on Kessler or confident enough on Kessler that Duren doesn't feel like those conversations with the Lakers would be very productive. So that's an interesting one as far as, like, you know, what this could mean here for the Lakers. This happened while I've been on the air, so I'm going to have to ask around or whatever. But that is really, really interesting, you know, for a variety of reasons. And Duren, look, I think he played really poorly in the postseason. I think he probably cost himself a shit ton of money in that postseason, and he's trying to get that money back. But I also think he is strong as hell, a giant person, and somebody who I think would immediately help the Lakers. So not seeing the Lakers listed here as the sign and trade possibility, that's an interesting one. I think we're going to learn a lot more about this, maybe as soon as I get off of the air. But that is really, really interesting that the Lakers aren't the team he's talking to right now. All right. The next question here comes from... I saw one. I know I saw it. I know it. There it is. Stu... LMB writes, Reeves said, me and Luca in his post-contract comments on his contract says what he thinks about LeBron's future in LA. Maybe. I think sometimes we kind of read a little too much into stuff like that. But what I will say is, like, from like what I think that meant is that he, you know, LeBron isn't going to be a Laker for the entirety of that future with the Lakers, and I think the focus is kind of him and Luka in that concept. But yeah, I would probably say that the, you know, with the Luka Austin combo, like they hit the ground running in terms of like the caliber of basketball that they played together, but also like they just get along really well. And it doesn't really surprise me that, you know, Austin sees he and himself and Luka as like the future of the Lakers beyond the LeBron era. But that doesn't mean, I don't think, that the Lakers aren't bringing back LeBron or aren't bringing back or that like Austin doesn't consider LeBron a big part of their future. I Austin like greatly respects LeBron, as he has said several times on several shows. And I don't feel any differently about that by way of this comment. Let's see. Is that all of them from a super comment? All right. I'm going to go ahead and pop out of here because I have a feeling we're going to get some breaking news that is more attached to this Jalen Duren thing that's happening right now. Hopefully we get a little bit of clarity on what the Lakers are getting ready to do. But yeah, the summer isn't exactly off to a flying start right now, and it really needs to hit a U-turn to make me feel good about everything, how everything is going. So please hit that like button. Please hit that share button as well. Please subscribe to the channel as well. Use that promo code HMA on Prize Picks and get $50 worth of free picks on them. And yeah, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you when I talk to you.
Bye, everyone.